And good morning and welcome to the talk show today. Mikey J., Colin Letty across the console from yours truly, Steve Hexham. We're talking about anything and everything that may be on your mind. And we were just talking about the Iowa caucuses and all of the campaigners in Iowa pretty much putting their two cents in on this situation in Iran. The situation in Iran, I'm not sure exactly what the situation is. I think Mikey and I were talking a little bit. It's sort of the eye of the beholder. Is this a good thing? We got rid of this guy. Does this put us closer to a potential war with Iran and put us into another conflict? So we maybe have three going on at the same time. I don't know. What do you think?
I personally haven't heard anyone give this take on it yet. Maybe I'm the only one that thinks this way. But I think this will move us closer to withdrawing from Iraq, 100%. I think
because we've destabilized Iraq and it's better for us to get the heck out of there.
I think the looming idea that we could potentially get into a war, I think will all the people that have seen so many, you know, folks my age, you know, the war started when I was in high school.
Yeah.
You know, in 2001,
started before you were born,
yeah.
Didn't it?
No, it started.
Oh, no, you were. No, no.
I was very young.
He's not that young.
But,
well, when were you born?
I was born in 1997, so it started.
Okay.
A few years after.
It was five years old for people around my age,
we can't remember a time where we weren't in the Middle East.
Yeah.
But I remember my friends, you know, people my age, it was record numbers of people signing up for the military after 9/11. And so we pretty much everyone my age knows someone who has gone off to war and not come back.
Well, I remember when we were down at we're at an Emerald Lady kickoff party down at the Big Muddy's. This is back in 1991 when the word came that Bernie in Baghdad was seeing the the missiles for the U.S. missiles coming in and the air bombing going on. And you know that was kind of, in many ways, sort of the neat little war that everybody seems to want. You know, you have all of this stuff going on, you get in, you do the job, and you get the heck out of there. I mean, I really can't think of any war, quote unquote, that went so fast as that. The buildup was big.
Yeah, well, and I think that was the expectation going into this war, you know, after 9/11. I think people thought that it was going to be another Gulf War, that,
we,
you know,
zip
we're
in, zip out.
Go in for a few weeks, do our thing, get back out,
no.
Name somebody else the president, and then it's all good. But no, that's not how it went.
It was just supposed to be Afghanistan is what it was supposed to be. We'll go in and get Osama bin Laden, we'll take out his henchmen, we'll get rid of it, we'll finish it all up, and we'll be back by Easter, you know?
And that took how long?
Well, they're still there.
Yeah. So it's
exactly
with this, you know,
we're still in Iraq.
Even after we got bin Laden.
Yeah.
Even people that support.
And Saddam Hussein.
Yeah. You know, even people that have supported the war from the beginning can agree that we've spent a lot more time and money on this war than we ever would have anticipated.
Many trillions of dollars.
We're constantly putting our own soldiers in the way, you know, for this conflict. And with this rising tensions with Iran, Iraq, they just put a thing through their parliament trying to ask our country to get out of their country, essentially. I think it's a great point in time to withdraw everything. And U.S. basically says, we don't want to start a war with you, Iran, but we will blow you up if you keep doing this stuff.
I
think Trump is right to do that. You have to. You can't be soft when it comes to terrorism like this.
You have to take a firm stance.
When you catch a foreign general making plans to hurt American ambassadors and different embassies and places around,
that's a threat.
You have to squash it right off the bat.
No, I don't disagree. I think the question is, and from a standpoint, is a political standpoint, is, okay, we caught the guy. And he was making the intelligence show that he was planning on doing this stuff. But, you know, it's sort of like, I guess what? The credibility of that intelligence still is what one of the things that comes to mind, or I guess one of the things that becomes part of the debate as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's if you haven't done it yet, you know, it's one thing to go out and take out a guy that's done it. And this guy has done some stuff. Oh, there's no doubt about that. But it's one thing to take him out before he does something, and not the whole embassy situation. For those of you that can remember back far enough, I can remember when we had in 1979, this is before either one of you guys were around, in 1979, we had the attack on our embassy in Iran, and all of the hostages that were then there for 444 days. That was during the Carter administration. Basically, it totally sunk his sunk any chance that he had of being or getting reelected. Really, it did. And they also knew it. They played us like a fiddle. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this means. I don't know what this one does. I don't know how politically it makes any difference. I don't know whether, you know, the Congress, you have candidates that are now, you know, saying, you've got Biden's jumping in and saying this is
I think the timing of this
dynamite in a tinderbox.
Absolutely, because that was my point, is that the timing of this assassination and subsequent political, whatever it is, I can't find the word for it.
Okay.
It's coming at the worst time, because the political situation in our country is seemingly so volatile right now, with an election and a president that a majority of people in Congress hate. And
and what is the thing we were talking about before, is that, okay, well, the economy, it's the economy, stupid, right? Well, the unsettling of the situation, until it is, and it, I think there is, you know, hopefully everything will settle down, and hopefully it will all turn out, and the gas prices will go back down. But the economy really is sort of the Wall Street.
The economy is the bottom line.
It triggers all of the other things that go on in terms of what's going on.
Once the stock market is affected, it's a very clear domino effect that one thing is affected after another and then another.
Yeah, and the farming community, because of the price of commodities, that goes everything else. When the price of gas surges high and the Wall Street goes down, let's face it, nobody's real happy.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've seen kind of creep up, and this is, you know, kind of indicative of our political environment nowadays, is everyone, no matter what happens in the news, people think it's because somebody is doing something nefarious on purpose. And so
got an agenda.
Yeah. Everybody thinks, you know, the people that don't like Trump think that everything he is doing is to somehow try to get out of trouble,
yeah,
or to try to put up a smoke screen
and they're saying
to hide his secrets. And I've heard a lot of this, that Trump did this strike just to take the heat off of himself, or to try to drum up the military side of his voting base
before the election, which
I think is disgusting
and the impeachment trial that sort of seems to be going nowhere.
Yeah, people weren't taking that seriously to begin with, but yeah, definitely seems a bit conspiracy theory-ish.
Well, and I would caution if anyone out there if that's actually what you think, I would love to hear your opinion on why.
Yeah.
But 754-1490 if you feel like calling. But It sets a dangerous precedent that you're going to think that if you really think that Trump is putting that little thought into making a giant military strike, that he killed a general in another country and then made up all these things saying that he was going to attack us just as a distraction from the news in the United States.
That's very far-fetched.
That seems a bit of a leap.
That's more than a leap, but it is. I think what it does is it narrows the focus. All of the things, these sort of promises we've been getting from some of these, from the candidates about what they want to do, it now narrows the field and it puts something, it's an issue people can all say yay or nay on.
Which is an ironic point, because you brought up that people are saying that he did this to take the heat off of him. If anything, it's done the complete opposite. It's put him under a microscope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That's something you have to realize as a president. Things like this are going to pop up that you didn't plan for. I'm sure a military advisor said, hey, we just found this guy. We've been looking for him for months. You have 10 minutes to decide whether we send a missile or not. You have to sit and think about
it. Wasn't it a drone strike?
Yeah, it was a drone strike is how they end up getting it. But I'm sure there was a limited time that they could do it. They knew he was going to be in a certain place at a certain time. He had military people that had given him all the intelligence, and he has to be the guy that says yes or no. And at a lot of points during a lot of presidents' runs, you have to make that decision. Barack Obama dropped so many bombs that we ran out of them. We ran out of them. But no, you know, there wasn't this big up, you know, there wasn't a big outrage when he did it.
The thing, well, part of the issue is the fact is Iran is a, we talk about a tinderbox type of situation. Iran is a country that is really two countries. You've got that. You've got the religious quote unquote military leaders that are all sort of, you know, the Khomeinis and the et cetera that run the thing. And you have the public is sort of a little bit like, you see all these people demonstrating. Well, it's a little bit like North Korea. Okay, well, you better get out and cry and moan and talk and make darn sure you're there at that the funeral march, right? Because it's the people in Iran.
There are
a
lot of similarities now that you mention it between the two.
I see a lot of similarities into the lead up to Vietnam. You know, it's. We've heard a lot more about China and Russia coming to the aid of Iran. So I think the more that tensions escalate in Iran, it's going to be very similar to Syria, where we're basically fighting Russia in Syria and using their own people as proxies for our war. It's going to turn the same way in Iran. Is the more we get militarily involved, the more support that Russia and China are going to put on Iran, because not only does it slowly drain our economy that we're spending all this money on all these wars, but it also takes the focus off of them. If we're fighting Iran, we've got a lot of our eyes from our country on that war and not on what Russia and China are doing at the moment. And it's going to end up being a fruitless war in another desert environment that we obviously can't win in.
Well,
that seems to be the theme with a lot of the conflicts in the Middle East. It's a lot of bigger powers behind the scenes pulling the strings, as opposed to them getting involved with each other.
And the biggest difference we had the Koreas and the Vietnams, the political climate that led us to get into those places was this domino theory. Okay, we've got to put the brakes on all of these countries that are turning kind. All of these countries aren't turning communist. In fact, virtually nobody's turning communist
It's a very similar sentiment that I've seen with a lot of people. A lot of people with Vietnam, and even after 9/11, it's like you have to make a point whether you want to decide should America be the one to police the planet.
And I don't see China wanting to go to war or wanting to be basically involved in a war.
Neither with the U.S. or China, economies are so dependent on each other.
And I don't see, and I really don't see Putin. I don't see Putin. Putin makes it is sort of like he's the sounding board, and he loves to. You know, when you look at it, when you think about it, think about Putin and Trump. Now, if Putin were to Twitter as much as Trump, then that we would have basically a parallel, right?
He does
say exactly what he's out of mind.
I see Putin much more of a Saddam Hussein-like character, not in being as crazy, you know, and doing such the terrible things like Saddam Hussein did.
He's a little crazy.
He's a little crazy, but
Saddam was a sociopath.
I know.
You also have to realize Putin is in charge of Russia, which is essentially this giant failed state that is trying to make its way back into being a superpower, which
he spent much of his time as head of the KGB.
Yeah, so Putin is a strong figurehead to aid a weak
government.
The government wasn't when he first came into power. The government was almost non-existent.
When he came into power, the USSR had just collapsed, and the Kremlin was in ruins.
And so I think had Russia not had the dictator like Putin in charge, they could have split into a bajillion countries. But now we've already seen them. You know, a lot of Russia split off into these countries, especially in Eastern Europe. But having that strong figurehead there, it keeps a sense of peace that somebody is taking care of, is pulling the strings, and is sending this train in the right direction down the tracks.
What you have in both Russia and China is you have this sort of hybrid mix of this sort of a strong government that is a controlling government, We're not saying communist, but we're going to say a controlling government that controls what their people are doing.
An omnipresent government.
But also both of them capitalist. They're both in the capitalist, you know, because they realize that, hey, the way to get ahead is to make money.
Yeah, and they can't compete.
And you can't,
try and keep up.
Right. We gotta do the things that make us money. We gotta make the oil deals. We gotta make the grain deals. We gotta make
the livestock
the tariffs.
Deals.
We gotta make the livestock. We gotta do all these things that work for our benefit. And that's it. We're not in the Mao Zedong and the Nikita Khrushchev era. Khrushchev's era was basically the height of communism
Khrushchev was the one who came to power after Stalin died.
And so Khrushchev basically got in at the height of the communist quote unquote power because there was such a huge loss from World War II. And a lot of countries say, when you can't eat and there's no when you're that discouraged and that distraught, everything and capitalism doesn't seem to be the thing to do. So communist he got to be at the point. Kennedy was the one, and actually Kennedy was the one who stared him down in Cuba, but he also stared him down in Berlin, and I think a lot of people forget that. Then Reagan came in, and Reagan sort of cleaned up the rest of the mess. I mean, when you think about it, it was Reagan.
And
Reagan was the one who basically, and frankly, Gorbachev and Reagan put the knife in communism. And that's when everything changed.
But there's a lot of people that grew up in a broken country that have these ideas that the West is responsible for that. And so
partially might have been instilled by the government.
Yeah. And so with China and Russia, if they were to take control of Iran or become good friends with Iran, the global play would be they now control a giant chunk of the world's oil and they can put pressure on us by increasing the price to us and putting huge tariffs on the oil to us under pressure from the Russians and Chinese. To essentially bleed the beast a little bit.
I guess the question is that's a leap. I think so. I think it's a bit of a leap.
If you were Russia, why would you want to help out Iran?
Well, I guess the question is, do you want to wake the sleeping?
Do you want the risk?
Yeah. Do you want the risk? Do you want the risk that? That we're gonna, you know, hey, we're not gonna be bombing. What did we end up? What did Saddam Hussein do before he lost power? What did he do?
He
mustard gassed his own people. But what did he do with all of the oil wells?
Remember that? Set them on fire.
He set everything on fire.
Yeah.
He said, okay, I will.
If
we can't have it, you can't have it. I don't see Iran doing that kind of thing.
No. What they're going to do is they're going to accept the tons of money that Russia and China are going to give them, and then they're going to gain political control over the oil stores there. I mean, that's what I see.
This is opening.
This whole conflict with Iran is opening this door to Russia and China.
I see one problem with that because there's another country in that region that controls a lot of the oil, that being Saudi Arabia.
You know, there's a mess. We're going to take a break for news. We'll be back. And by the way, phone lines are open if you want to jump in with your thoughts on any of the things going on. We'll talk a little bit about also locally who's going to be the new mayor of the city of Burlington. We'll take a little bit of a look at that and anything else that may be on your mind. 754-1490.
I'm Michael Braskowski, the voice of Southeastern Community College Basketball, and join me every Friday for Live with Blackhawk Nation, sponsored by Standard of Beaverdale, as we talk with the coaches, athletes, and others for an insider's view of the SEC athletics program. Hear the latest news regarding the teams at SEC. You're live with Blackhawk Nation every Friday at 7:22 in the morning and 5:25 in the evening on 99.3 and 1490 KBUR, and at 7:56 a.m. and 5:56 p.m. on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
No one plans on having physical therapy, but when you need to improve movement, reduce pain, and live better, you can count on Universal Therapy Group in Burlington and Fort Madison. Needs for physical therapy include accidents, stroke, sports injuries, balance problems, and joint replacements. Besides improving life, effective physical therapy can help prevent future injuries by strengthening muscles, joints, tendons, and ligaments. No matter your age or need for physical therapy, Universal Therapy Group specializes in you. Empower yourself. Choose Universal.
Looking for new furniture from top brands? Check out the Furniture Store in Burlington. They carry popular brands such as Ashley, Best, Flex Steel, Sunny Designs, and many more. Not only do they have some of the best prices in town, their dependable moving team will get your new furniture to your house very promptly. Free delivery with qualified purchases. For your next piece of furniture, check out the Furniture Store, located on the corner of Harrison and Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at thefurniturestoreburlington.com.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And now a look at today's headlines in the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. Now that the two newest members of the Burlington City Council have been sworn into office, the council will now look to appoint a new mayor. The new mayor will be voted on by members of the council as opposed to a public vote. This is because Burlington uses a manager-council system of governing. City Manager Jim Furno told the Burlington Beacon that the selection process has been a Burlington tradition for longer than even he knows. All members of the council, apart from the two newest members, Robert Kreitzer and Bill Maupin, are eligible to be elected mayor. Former Mayor Shane McCampbell held the office of mayor for 6 years before deciding to step down and not seek re-election. After an accident in Warren County, a Muscatine man is facing multiple charges. Illinois State Police say that Saturday afternoon around 5 p.m., 65-year-old Michael Payne was driving through Kirkwood in Warren County. Police say he was driving at a high rate of speed when he improperly changed lanes. He then proceeded to run off the west side of the road and struck an embankment before his vehicle ended up in the yard of a nearby home. Payne was taken to a nearby hospital. He's being charged with an aggravated DUI, reckless driving, driving with a suspended license, and disobeying a stop sign. The Iowa State Patrol says a person was struck and killed by a car while standing outside another car that had crashed into a guardrail. TV station KCCI reports the incident happened Saturday on I-80 near DeSoto, where, due to poor road conditions, a vehicle lost control and hit a guardrail. Investigators say the victim, 51-year-old Carmen Benitez, was hit and killed while standing next to the wrecked car. Benitez died at the scene, while the driver of the vehicle that struck her was taken to a nearby hospital with minor injuries. The Marion School District has settled the final lawsuit involving student sex abuse by a teenage classroom volunteer. The lawsuit was filed by parents who said their 5-year-old daughter was molested at Starry Elementary in January of 2016. The boy was 15 when he was accused, and he was convicted in January of 2017. The Gazette reported that the settlement was for $2 million. Two of the girls who testified at the boy's trial said they told their parents and a teacher, Diane Graham, about the abuse. Graham was later charged with not reporting the abuse. She was acquitted in January of 2018. And those are today's headlines in the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News, I'm Pam Husso. Iran will never have a nuclear weapon. President Trump tweeting that as Iranian state media reports the country will no longer abide by the limits of the nuclear deal. Iran also vowing revenge as crowds mourn the loss of a general killed by the U.S.
The general's daughter telling the crowd there will be payback against U.S. troops, that military families should start preparing for funerals of their own. And a Revolutionary Guard commander said America must be completely removed from the region.
Fox's Rick Leventhal. The president also tweeting about impeachment, calling it a partisan hoax. This as one Republican calls for the case to be dismissed since the House Speaker hasn't released it.
Nancy Pelosi is attempting to obstruct a Senate trial. That's all there is to it.
Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, Democrats want witnesses at the trial. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Partly sunny skies and a high today up to 43 degrees with west winds at 5 to 10. Tonight should be partly cloudy, low down to 29 with a south wind at 5 to 10, becoming west after midnight. Mostly sunny for your Tuesday, high to 42, mostly clear Tuesday night, a low down to 21. Wednesday should be mostly sunny, 37, and Thursday cloudy with rain 70% likely at a high to 55. And right now, skies continue at least partly sunny. It's 26 degrees.
CNBC. Iran vows retaliation for last week's killing of a top military commander by the U.S. Stocks selling off this morning. Major indexes all down about a half a percent. The Dow down 146 points. The Nasdaq down 53 points. The S&P is down 13 points. Investors are watching oil prices. Even though the U.S. is not dependent on Middle East oil, the markets are tied together. The international benchmark of Brent crude is up to its highest since May. Gold has surged to more than a six-year high this morning. Ford reported a drop in total vehicle sales for the fourth quarter of last year, but a whopping nearly 16% increase in truck sales. Yum Brands is buying the Habit Burger restaurant chain. Yum already owns KFC, Pizza Hut, and Taco Bell. Nobody won Powerball over the weekend. Wednesday night's jackpot, more than a quarter billion.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance, and it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE, 844-91-BIBLE.
No one plans on having physical therapy, but when you need to improve movement, reduce pain, and live better, you can count on Universal Therapy Group in Burlington and Fort Madison. Needs for physical therapy include accidents, stroke, sports injuries, balance problems, and joint replacements. Besides improving life, effective physical therapy can help prevent future injuries by strengthening muscles, joints, tendons, and ligaments. No matter your age or need for physical therapy, Universal Therapy Group specializes in you. Empower yourself. Choose Universal.
Burlington Area YMCA presents Comedy Night 2019. Enjoy a great night of entertainment with nationally known comedian Jose Sardui and amazing appetizers at the Catfish Bend Event Center on Friday, January 17th. Social time is at 6:30 p.m. and the comedy show will begin at 8 p.m. A table with seating for eight is $500. Individual tickets can be purchased for $65. Proceeds will go towards our Live Strong program at the Y. Contact Blair at the Y to purchase your tickets today.
Everything you need to know and more on AM and FM. All your favorite programs and personalities with a cleaner, clearer signal and a larger nighttime coverage area. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
All right. Well, we've been talking a little world political situations going on. We don't need to. And I know somebody, we have a call on our Thursday show talking about, I don't really want to talk about politics. Well, we aren't talking about the politics.
And then we had another saying we do want to talk about politics.
And the fact is, impact on us. I think the reality is, what is the impact on Joe Citizen? What's the impact in Burlington, Iowa? That's a real key here, because I think, we can talk. How does this affect you and me? Let's face it. Okay. A destabilization of the market or a major change in Wall Street, then it affects us. Okay. We have a major spike, huge spike in gas or in gas prices. Then that comes out of your pocket. People, the economy. When we say the economy is stupid, we don't mean the economy is and you're stupid. It's just basically it's the fact that economics rules what people feel or how they feel about it, any particular issue. If it's when the market's down, people aren't real happy. When the market's up, they're happier. And if the price of gas goes down, they're happier. So, yeah, it's keeping that balance. Well, if you're a farmer, I'm not sure what you think, because they're getting hit both ways right now. They got this whole situation still unsettled with China.
Yep.
And what happens to the commodity markets once Wall Street is unsettled? It goes right. It's like it triggers a reaction that brings the markets. Those markets start falling too. So yeah, it's when times are good, they're good. When they're not good, they're not good.
Well, hopefully, for the farmers, the only ray of sunshine here is most around here, you know, the crops have been picked. This is the off season.
Yeah.
Farmers are waiting to plant, you know, coming up closer to the spring. So you're not using as much fuel and stuff this time of year.
I think the biggest thing is hoping that the situation stabilizes and that we can come up with that. We'll still get China to actually make a trade agreement with us, because it's in their interest and in our interest.
Yeah.
Good morning. On the talk show, who do we have with us today?
Yeah, this is Jack.
Hey, Jack.
Got a question for you. I don't know if you remember, like, about 40 years ago when the Iranians seized our embassy.
Oh, yes, I remember that very well. Remember, that was the if you remember, this is a side note, remember the show Nightline? Okay.
Yeah.
That was when it started, remember, because they had the Iranian. It started as Iranian hostage crisis day one. Well, they kept going and going and going.
24 hours worth of news service with Ted Koppel.
Yes, Ted Koppel, yes.
Yeah. Well, I have a question, and the question is this, is that 40 years ago, what political party was in charge of the White House at that time?
40 years ago would have been the Democrats.
It was Jimmy Carter.
Yep.
And perhaps if he would have done something other than not do anything, maybe you wouldn't have this problem right now. But it seems like every time they commit something, they get bolder and bolder and more aggressive, and nothing stops them except total 100% force.
You know,
they don't know of anything other than force.
But, I mean, force hasn't seemed to stop them, Jack. We've been at war for how long, to get
in their head to leave us alone.
Well, you know what? If you remember correctly, what happened when Carter tried to take action and he had
failed.
Yes, he had. It was planes and seven or eight helicopters, and it was a nighttime maneuver, and at least two or three of them crashed into each other. So it was a disaster.
Not military, so I followed that quite well, because you didn't know what was going to happen after that.
Well,
and you know, the thing is that I got some old maps at home that used to show that area as Persia.
Yes.
And the Persians have always been unwilling to be ruled by anybody other than their, I guess, radical individuals, whether it be a Shah, whether it be a Tsar, whether it be an Ayatollah. It seems like that's what they accept.
We were talking about this during the break. I think the fact is the average citizen in Iran, they're moaning about this person that was killed. But what they're doing is a lot like the parallel we see, believe it or not, in North Korea. They're following because they're told, okay, we want mass demonstrations, so you will be in the mass demonstration. We don't want to have you absent from the mass demonstration. That would not look good for you or for us. And that seems to be the case.
I don't know what you think about any president, this one, any past president. But the president is the commander-in-chief, and if he wants to order a strike, he's got that power to do that. He doesn't have to consult with anybody if he sees it as a national interest and a threat against our country. And this guy was an actual threat.
I don't think anybody doubts that.
Yeah, there are people who doubt it. They're whining and wringing their hands, saying, oh, we took out such a wonderful general. It was on the news this morning. I was watching it.
But the fact is, a lot of the information we're talking about and the fact, the reality or the very bottom line is we really don't know the specifics of what was in that plan, and we're not going to be told that because it's a let's put it this way. If there's such a thing as the most classified information you can have, that's pretty much about as most classified as they're not going to release
like
that information.
Only, and only two people get to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. And our opinion, our opinions are only based on what they tell us.
Yeah.
I mean, they've told us this guy's a bad guy. None of us actually know. We just have to trust that what they're telling us is correct.
And wouldn't it be interesting to know if who these controllers were for this drone, you know, drone strike? Because we've got drones that fly out of Des Moines, out of Sioux City, you know, in Iowa.
Yeah.
And
there are a lot of
drone
pilots.
Where this thing was flown from and who made the decision to push the button to launch the missile.
You know, the interesting thing is, you know, technology has gotten to the point right now where you don't need to be in the flying lessons that are going on are the number one flying lessons that are going on in this country are not in real planes.
They're for unmanned, unmanned aircraft.
And they are recruiting. They're recruiting. Did you know that?
They're recruiting
a lot of the top gamesters, people that have.
The ones that aren't making millions of dollars on Twitch.
Right. And exactly. And they are utilizing those skill levels to become training, adding training in there. To become drone pilots. That's where the pilots.
You've got to remember, though, is we had them, and they've got them also. They can fly them over here.
Oh, that's right. Trust me, I think that's the other reality. The reality is it is a two-way street. We know do we hack? You bet.
Do they hack?
Yes.
Probably.
No doubt.
And I will tell you what. I will hang up, and maybe somebody else will call.
Thanks, Jack. You bet. Yeah. Take care, boy. All right, yeah, it was. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. 754-1490. We'd love to hear from you today.
The anticipation of getting to the arena. The goosebumps hit you as the lights go down and the starting lineups are announced. The epic throwdown and the buzzer beater for the win. Don't miss a beat right here.
Iowa travels to Nebraska Tuesday night at 7. Brought to you by Case Bank Community Credit Union, the Boogaloo and Fun City at Pizzazz, Barn Grover Glass, and by Courtesy Door on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Save big money in your next project with 11% off everything right now at Menards. Check out our huge selection of floor and wall tile. Ronyo tiles are beautiful and durable. They're easy to maintain and add style to any room. Get 6x36 Fenwood porcelain tile for $3.46 each after 11% off. Sale prices are good through Saturday, January 11th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm Dr. A.J. Friesen, an orthopedic surgeon at Great River Medical Center. Stay safe with these winter tips. When walking on snow and ice, slowly shuffle your feet. Wear warm shoes or boots with good traction. Carry items in a backpack to keep your arms free for balance. And don't use your cell phone or drink beverages while walking. Some slips and falls can't be prevented. Orthopedic specialists at Great River Medical Center can help. See me and my colleagues at greatriverortho.com.
Looking for new furniture from top brands? Check out the Furniture Store in Burlington. They carry popular brands such as Ashley, Best, Flexsteel, Sunny Designs, and many more. Not only do they have some of the best prices in town, their dependable moving team will get your new furniture to your house very promptly. Free delivery with qualified purchases. For your next piece of furniture, check out the Furniture Store, located on the corner of Harrison and Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at thefurniturestoreburlington.com.
Since 1989, Trees for the Future has planted over 155 million trees around the world through the support of individuals like you. Together, we train farmers to plant and manage forest gardens that sustainably feed families, raise incomes, and revitalize the earth. Join Trees for the Future in planting trees that end hunger, poverty, and deforestation. Find out more by visiting trees.org/radio. That's trees.org/radio.
The talk show today, Mikey J and Colin Letty are across the console, and we've been talking about, geopolitics, I guess that'd be the way to describe it. we are not experts, and we don't know.
We're not
know,
political but, scientists. But, we're just guys with an opinion.
Yeah, and I think that's, the fact is, what we don't know is greater than what we do know. And that's the bottom line, I think.
And what they don't want us to know, we won't.
And so jumping in and making, I was one of the things that I will basically, if my summation would be, you know, if you, you can use this as a political sort of a talking point if you're a Democratic candidate. Is it wise to be using it as a talking point? I don't know. I suppose if it gets you votes, does it get you votes or does it not?
The question is, who are you making this point to?
Right.
That's the biggest issue, is if you're doing it in a mostly red state like Iowa is in most parts, probably not, because a lot of people would be supporting Trump in that regard. Or if you're doing it in an over-liberal state like California, then probably, yeah.
They had anti-war marches going on, I believe, in Des Moines and Iowa City, which I guess is not that unusual.
I mean, if you're running on a platform, many of the Democrats, you know, are running on a non-interventionist platform. Tulsi Gabbard has been very vocal about these regime change wars that we keep getting ourselves in, that she is definitely doesn't want to do it.
They never end.
That they keep going on. So, I mean, candidates that have already voiced opinions on not wanting to get into another war, you know, they could see this as, hey, guys, see this happening. This could potentially get us into another war.
And it's not
worth it. If it was me, I wouldn't have done this, and this is why. And, you know, it could start a conversation as to why regime change wars are bad. Or good, depending on what, you know, which candidate you are or whatnot. But I don't think this is something you should be rallying your horses around. You know,
yeah.
I think this is kind of just something that has happened. Address it and use it as a way to put your own policy points out there.
It does seem like a very touchy issue to hang your hat on in terms of trying to get
talk about war. You know, I. What in 1972 we had, frankly, the biggest story was the, you know, I guess, who was the, actually 68. 68, the big story was the war. 72, the big story was the war. Who was the peace candidate? I mean, the peace candidate in 68 was Richard Nixon, who was going to end the war. Lyndon Johnson said, hey, I've had enough. I'm wiping my hands of this thing
Nixon didn't end the war till 73.
Well, he did find a way, along with Henry Kissinger, to end basically direct involvement in the war, and he basically found a way to gradually get us out of there. I remember February of 73, there was a guy by the name of Mike Chomey in our hometown, and my sister had one of those back in the day. They actually had bracelets with names of POWs on them, and or MIAs and POWs. And finally he came home. He came home to his family. And I think the fact is, I don't know. But the only problem that Nixon had back in 1973 was Watergate. Which sort of derailed all of the good things that he might have been able to do, mm-hmm. or to talk, the good things.
And President Ford had to pick up the pieces.
Well, President Ford was there, and we said it's never the deed. No matter how good you are, lying and obstruction of justice will never get you very far, and it's going to it will bite you in you know what, and that's what happened to Nixon, and it's also. Frankly, it's what happened to Clinton, but Clinton somehow, you know, people finally realized, one is obstruction of justice and the entire government. The other one is lying about sex, and who doesn't lie about sex?
Yeah. they were dragging up all his personal details.
Yeah. I'm not saying that.
That's a bit of a horse of a different color.
You know what I mean? It's like, I think that was sort of the issue. People said, okay, come on. I mean, especially when you're sitting in Congress. Let's see. Have I ever lied about sex?
Yeah. Especially when you're answering questions in front of your wife.
What's your definition of is?
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I think all of these, I mean, the number of people in that room that could have all, they were all identifying with it, with, okay, are we really having this? Is this really an impeachment trial? Is this really what we're talking about? You know, we're not talking government. We're not talking government secrets. We're not talking about anything.
We're talking about an affair.
We're talking, yeah. And we're, yeah, exactly. And we're talking about the definition of the word
and
is.
And a guy lied about it.
What a surprise. I mean, to think of the... The way that the media came from the Jack Kennedy era to
the Clinton era.
And now
to the Trump era.
Oh, and the Trump era. We have a fascination with things that are not necessarily what we... Now, I don't... And then we have this whole situation with the quote-unquote, the impeachment trial that can't go on. Because it hasn't been sent over yet, has it?
Yeah. Nancy Pelosi is still holding on to the articles of impeachment.
Something tells me they're going to keep doing that until it's closer to the election.
I think there's a good chance.
The Democrats, I'm sure, are hoping they can just hold on to it till everyone forgets about it and then just sweep it under a rug somewhere.
I think that would be right.
What I see happening is Congress putting forward, you know, the Senate saying, you need to give us these, and them going to the Supreme Court to force their hand. Because I think that's what they have to do. You can't start this impeachment thing and then just stop it halfway through. You can't just stall this process midway to smear somebody.
I'm not going to be conspiratorial, but I will say that the fact that we've got the Iowa caucuses coming up and the campaign is coming up, I think there's an absolute feeling that this is not going to be helping the Democrats in terms of any of the potential campaign issues that are out there. It's going to obscure the campaign issues, and it's going to distract voters. Instead of doing anything to
it's going to make Trump look good,
and it will make Trump, and I think that's
because
it will validate
all the things he's been saying that they don't have any evidence against him, and he didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, you guys got together and you decided that this was what you were going to do, and you came up with these charges, obstruction of Congress, not obstruction of justice, obstruction of Congress. And that's a pretty nefarious way to really come across in terms of how you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. Well, I think what was the other one?
Obstructing justice, you're obstructing us.
Yeah, and
well, originally they were trying to say bribery.
Well, yeah.
Who was he bribing?
Well, they were trying to say that he was the quid pro quo.
Oh, the Ukraine
thing. Withholding the aid and asking for a favor is some sort of bribery.
That's not bribery. But, that's a tactic.
Yeah, but they dropped that very quickly because they realized it wasn't going to work.
It won't hold water.
They realize also that quid pro quo or delaying aid or something like that in terms of getting something you want is a tactic that's been used by presidents
for 100 years, at least
in this century or the past century. Yeah. I think you might be right. I don't think it's going to. The fact is, but they did vote on it, so I'm not sure what. You think the Republicans are going to say, "Come on, hey, let's bring it forward."
Let us take a look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably vague, or it's probably not specified specifically in the actual, you know, impeachment, the whatever it is the rules of impeachment. I don't think it says like how it has to be a limited amount of time before you give it over to the other half of Congress. But I think it's very heavily implied that you're supposed to give it over once you're done, you know, voting on whether you should or not.
We're moving into a new era and all kinds. Boy, talk about it. The Tinder box is definitely Tinder.
Tradition of news, sports, and public affairs excellence continues. News Radio 90. 90-